Tonight, we close out our station-wide primary coverage with guests Scott Stantis and Sarah Feigenholtz in studio. Then later, we get our second check-in in 2 days from Representative John Cabello. And finally, we have some surprising St. Patrick's Day facts to change the mood. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
We have a show edition. Because of my expert planning, I have mistakenly included John Tatey on the show.
It's never a mistake to include.
Mistakenly included you, but I wasn't sure. I think we mentioned last week, hey, come in and we'll do the wrap-up of the primaries.
And I have been boning up on my politics history all day.
I'm only
going to get 10 minutes.
You can stay as long as you want. You might find the rest of the conversation engaging.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
But we have extreme weather going on. As you can see, it's moving through parts of northern Chicago, the suburbs of Waukegan, up in southern Wisconsin, Kenosha. So we're getting reports from all over the Chicagoland area. 312-981-7200. Also parts of Indiana. If you're getting extreme weather, we want to hear from you. We want to make sure you're okay. I know there are reports of hail. There are some tornadoes that have been reported in parts of Illinois. So please give us a call
at 312-981-7200.
Welcome to Illinois, my friend.
Wow. Jeez. Now tell me what you were telling me about peppers before we went on the air.
So there's a lot of pizza in the green room, including pizza from Pat's. We have Pat's Pizza. Thank you, Representative Sarah Feigenholtz, for bringing us some pizza. And there's broccoli on my pizza, which I'm like, yeah. I've got it. That's going to be crazy. My vegetable intake. Yeah. No, but I love yeah. that. And a little bit of chicken. Got my protein.
Yeah, no, these pizzas are made specifically for Patty, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I actually find green peppers on my pizza. Neither one of these have green peppers. I find green peppers to be offensive on my pizza. So those of you enjoying your primary night celebrations or consolation prizes and having pizza and you have green peppers on them, I find that offensive.
Yeah, but what about...
They're not done. It's a pepper that's not done. It is not finished. It has not become its full self.
I didn't know this.
Yes.
Do you not like it at all?
Not even a little bit.
She was pretty clear that first time through.
Well, no, but I'm thinking like a beef. Because don't they put green peppers in there or something?
Not on my Italian beef.
But did you know this, Esmeralda, that green peppers are just peppers that haven't turned red yet?
I didn't. I actually learned that from Patty.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked other people because I didn't believe
it. And what did they say?
I think someone did say, yeah, no, that's true.
I like that someone affirms
Patty. So they confirmed mine.
I did look up, while the intro was playing, I did look up bell pepper on the Wikipedia, and it does confirm what you say, Patty,
mm-hmm.
but it also says that the permagreen variety of bell pepper stays green even when it's ripe. So there are green peppers that stay green.
Someone was tinkering with that pepper
right.
and said...
Those ungodly peppers stay green.
You shall never grow up.
I'm glad I could show up to derail.
They're like the veal of peppers. They're not ready to go yet.
We're supposed to be talking about weather and politics, and I'm here talking about vegetables.
This is important. I think that the mutation of peppers and picking them when they're too young, I think this plays right into a lot of politics. I think our agricultural friends.
Oh, does it? Okay.
I think the weather right now with this heavy rain, people are planning
their
gardens.
I can't believe John's going to leave. I mean.
What is Agriculture Day? It is National Agriculture Day, so this is actually pertinent.
For 47 more minutes,
yes.
We're celebrating agriculture.
Your green peppers are not supposed to stay that way.
Huh.
Unless they've tinkered with it.
I believe you. I was so astonished to learn this, though.
I can't.
I did not believe you until I had it confirmed on the internet.
I, like many people, there's a reason behind my distaste for green peppers.
What's that?
I used to eat them in huge volumes as a child. I used to eat them like apples.
Ugh.
Exactly. So I have a personal hatred.
Isn't it funny how those like wrong eating as a child can stay with you for life?
Yes.
Like I, as a child once got this terrible stomach bug after eating ham. I don't think it was because of the ham, but it was after eating ham. And I just don't really like ham all that much since then.
I had that with pineapple. I ate too much of it.
Which goes with ham very well. I'm sad for both of you.
No, yeah. I eat it again.
You'll eat a big ham.
Between
you'll
the
eat
two
a
of us, we'd have a meal.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Like split pea soup with ham? Can't do it?
You know, if it's in other things, I can tolerate
okay.
it. I just
Country
don't
ham?
Like I don't like it. When it's Christmas, we have the Christmas ham. I'm just not into it.
Hey, you don't have to convince me. I told you. Pizza with green peppers? I can't.
What about pizza with pineapple?
I like that.
That I love, yeah.
Pizza with anchovies, though. So we're really talking to somebody who has a very strange, not even a low bar.
Seriously, Order. Yes. You need to order an anchovy pizza because I would like to try it.
Okay, I'm gonna. I have to bring it from a place I know.
What is wrong with all of you? I just need to be the voice of reason.
You know what? I am not biased until I try it, and then I need to try it twice. And if I don't like it, then I'm out. I've never had.
Looks completely unappealing.
Well, how can it look unappealing? Everything on a pizza can.
Oh, everything on a pizza looks lovely. Pepperonis are sexy to me. Those look beautiful.
Now I can't talk to you. How does a pepperoni look sexy?
It's those nice, bold, round, red dots. They look full of vigor.
Yeah.
No, I'd say salami is sexy. Not pepperoni, though.
Well, you're drawing a pretty fine line there.
Pepperoni's like the cheap cousin.
I want to know why salami is sexy.
We want your vote. You know what?
What's the sexiest pizza topping?
We've been talking about the elections all day. Now it's time to vote for the sexiest pizza topping. Everyone, I'm sure. And by the way, the turnout was so strange. Nobody covers 2016 like 720. Justin Kaufman had this great panel in here, and I'm like, I don't like green peppers. We also do have extreme severe thunderstorms. There are warnings for East Central Will County in northeastern Illinois, northeastern Kankakee County in northeastern Illinois, and also southwestern Porter County in northwestern Indiana, Lake County in northwestern Indiana, and that goes until 11:45. There are severe thunderstorm watches from 10:15 until 3 a.m. Wednesday, March 6th. For Boone, Cook, DeKalb, DuPage, Ford, Grundy, Iroquois, Kane, Kankakee, Kendall, Lake, McHenry, and Will counties. And we'll keep you updated on all of those warnings throughout the evening. Again, we also have severe thunderstorm warnings for Kankakee and Will counties, and that's going on throughout the evening. So we have to make sure that everyone knows. By the way, check out Tom Skilling. I know WGN TV is also covering this and making sure that you know how to be prepared. If there is imminent danger, you need to be ready and know what to do next. John, as a new mom? As a new dad?
Wow, as new parents, must be a very new mom.
You're so very new. As new parents, do you have like a disaster evacuation plan for you and the baby?
Jeez, no, we better make one as soon as I get home.
Can you get him a go bag, please? Have we not spoken about disaster preparedness?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
Don't you just grab that baby and run?
That's one of the situations. Are you in an apartment or a home?
A home.
Okay, so you have easy access. It's not like a second floor window.
That's right.
You don't need like an emergency ladder.
We have a number of available exits.
And you've already plotted that out in your mind.
Well, it's not that complicated a house. Yeah. I think we can do the math.
Okay, good. But just grab, like she said, that's actually all you need to do.
Or if need be, just throw the baby out the window, but make sure someone's there to catch it.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Or a big blanket.
I can't tell you how much. We have a second floor deck, and then we have a first floor deck that goes out farther than the second floor deck. And I can't tell you how many times I've had this nightmare thought of, what if there's a fire on the second floor and the exit to downstairs is blocked? We have to go out that way. Yep. And I picture myself getting ready to catch the baby as my wife drops it down to me from the second floor. So I picture that very scenario many times.
Fire ladder.
Yeah. We have to get one of those.
You do.
Yeah.
Just hooks on the edge of the deck.
It's a wooden deck, though. Is that legit?
Yeah.
Still?
Why are you asking? I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Zoning
I feel
laws.
Like maybe the deck's going to go up in flames if we take any time to get the ladder.
If it starts in the house, you should have. Is your bedroom right on the deck?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Yeah. Just out the window.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we worked out this plan.
I'm glad you
It wasn't much
you
of a service to the rest of the listeners, but
it absolutely
I'm all
was.
Set.
You don't. They also know that I'm a little paranoid.
Yeah.
Better paranoid than not ready.
That's right. Better paranoid than dead.
I wasn't going to say that. That's a little drastic.
I learned a lot in this first segment. Thank you to you both.
You're welcome. Green peppers, not done. John, will you stay with us and hang out and meet Representatives Martwick and Feigenholz?
You know what? I am going to give way to the expert panel.
Scott Stantis. All right, then. We are going to talk more election night results, primary results, and the senior. No, I'm sorry.
We've said it for a long time.
The editor-in-chief for the Grand Poopah. I like what I like what Craig has titled
you. Any title that has the syllable poop.
Commander-in-Chief of the AV Club.
That's good, too.
That's John Tatey. Find him on Twitter, at John Tatey, and at the AV Club.
At avclub.com.
Isn't it? But at VA Club.
Oh, on Twitter, it's at the AV Club.
Yeah, you're all particular about
your
titles.
Just skip that and go straight to avclub.com on your computer box.
By the way, we're on Facebook Live right now.
I know, I can tell.
Kristen Decker
There's
just working it.
Person with a selfie stick just prowling around the studio.
Great? No, but it was. See how we kept it all very natural until I broke that wall. Thank you, John Tatey. After this,
thanks, Patty.
By the way, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We want to know what your weather is in your area, and we also, you know, want to talk to you about the voting that you all, I'm sure, absolutely did, except in my neighborhood. More after this, 720 WGN. It's pretty late. We have not chosen our pretty late wake up call for 1:55 a.m. Maybe we'll just call Scott Santis and leave a message with him. I know you're here, but still, it'd be fun. Maybe Representative Marwick. Maybe he needs a wake-up call. You woke up very early today.
Oh, yeah. 3:30.
Would you come to your microphone?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
He'd be all casual. He's like, yeah, I'll be here.
Hang out. Yeah.
Happy birthday again. I know that we talked to you before your birthday, but happy birthday again.
Thank you.
I found another bar in our neighborhood that we have to try out, just so you know.
All right.
Windsor. Have you been to the Windsor?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Very nice. Fishman's is great.
They have a great patio. Windsor has a great patio in the summer. It's wonderful.
We shall enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And we'll invite Scott Santis.
I'd like that.
Political cartoonist.
I need friends.
I know. Well, you have friends. Representative Feigenholz is grabbing some pizza from Pat's. And thank you so much to Pat's Pizza for providing lovely treats. I'm getting a plate and everything now, I think. Thank you. I'm eating. You saw that I was eating on a piece of printout paper. Hey, it's Catch as Catch Can tonight. Justin Kaufman had a whole panel of people, and this is my panel. And I think later on we'll talk to Representative John Cabello, who we talked to last night. He had put his support behind Donald Trump over the weekend. And so I was curious to talk to him. He also gave us some info on what it was like to be inside the pavilion. We had our perspective on the outside. But today's news is all different. A lot of results coming in from all over the country. How did you feel about the turnout today, Representative Martwick?
Well, it was a great day to be a Democrat in Illinois. We saw some results that sort of confirm, you know, what in this epic fight that we've been having with the governor.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of bellwether primaries that were going on. We had, of course, the Ken Duncan Democratic primary with Juliana Stratton.
Big numbers.
Big numbers, yeah.
The disparity between her win and his loss are surprising.
Not just the disparity in the numbers, but the amount of money that was spent is just, it's the kind of money that was spent was not too long ago. You'd spend that on a governor's race.
Really? How much was it?
I think.
Hold on.
How much?
Go ahead. Yeah. Yes, please.
It's $5 million.
It was over five last week. They say it may
What typically
eclipse.
In a race that you two, Representative Feigenholz and Martwick, what do you usually?
I will tell you, in 2012, I spent $140,000 on a contested primary.
Okay.
And they just, so that was me. And Ken is going to have almost $4 million spent on his race.
Wow.
And he got less than 40%.
Oops.
So.
Okay. So. Scott, you have not had the pleasure of joining me in Springfield to hang out with our legislators.
Not yet.
Representative Duncan was somebody I met early on. Very, how do I put this? Brisk, I would say. Like, I was trying to talk to him. He's, you know, just a little like you're telling him something. I was there because of the cuts in funding autism and the Epilepsy Foundation and after-school programs. And I didn't feel like he was quite – like when I talked to –
Well, he was planning a trip, to be fair.
When I spoke to representatives – hold on one second. What was that, representative? Meow. It's more of a
– Well, that's my job description.
Yes. Yeah, there it is. I didn't feel like – yes, I did feel as though he had something else that was more eminent than – more important than what we were talking about. When I talked to you, we discussed all the funding and where – you know, what's important, what has been sort of cut loose and what, you know, the state has taken on the responsibility for. Representative Feigenholz, we talked about the PUNS programs. We talked about – really? Already I have to go to a break?
Yeah, we have a whole commercial. I know.
All right, go. We're going to eat some pizza from Pat's. And let's see what happens with the Rattler here and there. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I am joined by the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, Scott Santis. We have Representative Sarah Feigenholz.
That's her.
She's like settling in. I'll get there when I need to.
Yeah,
Yes, what? And we also have Representative Martwick. He's the 19th district. Representative Feigenholz, the 12th district. And 312-981-7200. We want to know what your voting experience was like tonight. Our first caller on the line gets a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Woo! That's 312-981-7200. Our first caller will get a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. And did you vote today, Representative Martwick, or did you vote early?
I did. No, I like voting on election day. I know.
At Farnsworth. I voted at Farnsworth. Did you see the kid that was one of the judges that had no shoes on? Kind of a hipster-looking guy.
Oh, really?
He was really funny, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, where's your shoes? It's only 3 o'clock. It can't be that long. I don't know how to work. Now, when did you vote, Representative Feigenholz?
I voted this morning. I'm old school.
Like day of.
Yeah.
Scott, when did you vote?
I voted ahead of time.
Okay.
I voted early.
Craig voted like just in the nick of time, I would think.
Yeah, I voted about 10 minutes before my polling place closed.
Do they keep the polling places open if you're already in line?
Yes.
Okay.
The people who were in, someone ran to my polling place and it was 7:01 and they didn't let her in. Yeah.
Oh.
So
I would have said she's with me. I was holding her place in line, right? This is what I'm saying.
You're right.
Let's see who our first listener on the line is. We have Joe. Hey, Joe, how are you doing? Congratulations, you have a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's.
Wow, this has been canned, I think.
No, it has not been canned. We said our first caller on the air would win a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's.
Fantastic. Hey, listen, I got a kick out of this one. Mm-hmm. It was in my very quiet, normal, suburban polling place in Downers Grove. And prior years, you know, it's just, saunter up through the front doors, walk to the back gym section, and get taken care of immediately.
Right.
Today, there was a line of about 45 people.
What?
Oh, great.
That's wonderful.
It was fantastic. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. So, in any event, there's a vending machine right next to the door to the gym, mm-hmm. and there's a sign on it. And everybody was, you know, just mumbling to themselves a little bit. And I says, why don't I try to start a conversation here? Let's instigate some creativity.
Did you not? You're not on Facebook, because my Facebook post said specifically, just vote and keep the small talk to a minimum.
No, this was creative gray matter. You know, this is good
stuff.
It's not
a day for it. Go ahead, Joe.
Top quality.
Go ahead, pumpkin. Go ahead. Yes.
All righty. Anyway, this little loose leaf binder piece of paper on there is scotch taped.
Yeah.
Said, notice, this vending machine does not operate through lunch hours. And I said, what does that mean to you? Turning around to the fellow that was standing behind me.
Mm-hmm.
He mused a little bit. His wife said, well, maybe the kids all crowd around too much, and you know, there's too much of a conflagration there with the kids. Whatever.
Ooh, the conflagration.
Make a long story short, the number of suppositions I got was phenomenal. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And did you go to the source to determine what the actual reason was behind the scotch tape sign?
I would have to go to the school during regular hours because the teacher was unavailable that posted it.
And what was your favorite reason from the...
My initial thought process was Mayor Bloomberg. Remember the guy in New York City, the mayor, that tried to say, you will not be able to drink any more than a 32-ounce soda.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought was, you know, that's fine. But if it was just to, you know, control people, that's not right. Everybody can make their own decision was the bottom line.
Well, it's a high school. It's not really
true. You gotta,
they're not people.
Their brains haven't fully formed yet, so you get to make some choices for them.
There you go. You got to take care of them in their pubescence, right?
Well, Joe, yes, exactly. Well, congratulations, and I'm glad that it was a packed polling place where you voted today. Congratulations on your $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's.
Thanks so much, Carol.
Talk to you later. Thank you. Bye. And That's Joe. Representative Feigenholz, you've been talking about coming in and perhaps doing a segment like It Ought to Be a Law. You'll hear from Joe quite a bit.
Oh, good. I can't wait. So, you know, one of the things that I want to tell you about my experience in the polling place is, you know, election day, especially when you have your name on the ballot, you kind of feel...
Your name.
Yeah.
Your name.
My name.
Yes.
Or, you know, you feel like you're kind of untethered, like you're in a... You're just floating out there, and the winds will put you wherever you end up.
Right.
And so I walked into my polling place today, and I noticed a great deal of a lot of young people lined up waiting to vote at a very, very early time in the
morning.
And I was a little freaked out about it.
Why?
Well, because I thought, these look like Bernie Sanders voters.
What's wrong with that?
I thought it was fabulous. But it was unique in that it was so early. You know, it was really
they
early.
They meant it.
They had their backpacks on. They were serious, mm-hmm. and they knew what they were doing. They were on a mission. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to read into this. at least 50% of these young people were women. Mm-hmm. And then I got my tape from my polling place. I'm a precinct captain.
Okay.
Precinct 20. And Bernie womped it.
Oh, did he in your district?
Like, yeah. What to what?
And you're DePaul. Is it the DePaul area?
No, this was like, this was, my precinct is Sheffield and Belmont.
Okay.
So, but my point is that my instincts were right.
That the youngsters
this morning
showed up.
Yeah.
Let me see. Go ahead. Let me see what Scott had to say about his voting experience. Hey, Scott.
Hi. I just wanted to give you a real quick feedback that my voting experience today was really great. I live in the Edgewater neighborhood on the north side.
Uh-huh.
I went to the polls at about 11 o'clock this morning, and, well, it was a little bit strange because there was no line at all. It was
isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Same for me, yeah.
Well, I probably went at the right time.
Right.
But I just have to compliment the people who were the election judges because they were totally on top of everything. They had everything really under control, and mm-hmm. I think those people they're really underappreciated. I think they work really long, horrible days, and you know, if not for them, the whole election process would fall into chaos. And I just think that they don't get enough credit for what they do. So
I agree.
I just wanted to thank them for the great job that they did for us today.
That's wonderful. And did they offer you the choice between a paper ballot and the electronic ballot?
Actually, no. They only had the paper ballot for me, which was the one that I would have chosen anyway. But they didn't seem to have the option for the electronic.
And do you miss, like, poking a hole? Like, I mean, I know that led to the whole, you know, dangling chads. But that connecting the line with the marker is, you know, sort of... I kind of like, I was very deliberate. Did you find yourself, like, really making sure that the whole thing was filled in?
Well, I did, but I got to say, I like these ballots a lot more than the punch card ballots. I think these are the best ballots we've ever had because I really don't trust those electronic machines. Mm-hmm. I really like the idea that there's a, in case the computer system might fail, that mm-hmm. there's still a paper backup. So I think these ballots are probably the best okay. of all possible worlds, really.
And one last question. Did you get did you want to say something?
No, I was just going to mention my father groused to the day he died when he was voting early on. They had rubber stamps on the ballot. Yeah, you could literally, and if you meant it, you could just bam!
Bam. Wow, it was very dramatic. Did you get a sticker? Because Craig and I were a little sad that we didn't get stickers today.
I didn't get a sticker either.
How come? I don't know. We didn't get stickers.
I didn't
get
one.
Like nobody
Chicago
had
did not have stickers.
No, they just had little receipts.
Is it the budget? Yeah. Is it the budget?
I'm going to bring stickers to my... I'm going to bring stickers to the 30.
Stop paying for stickers.
It could be,
it
yeah.
could be.
What I like about the ballots is the print is really big.
It is very big. Yeah. Thank you, Scott. Congratulations, and thank you for voting today.
Thank you.
Have a great one. Yes, you too. I'm going to bring stickers to the 38th precinct next year.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah,
make our own stickers.
The fall election, yeah. Yes.
So I just got some news. It's Ooh. A little bit of breaking news. It's probably not. Yeah, it's people in Chicago probably aren't paying too much attention to it, but it's another one of these little bellwether races. Mm-hmm. There's a Republican senator by the name of Sam McCann. Who broke with the governor on his anti-labor initiatives. He was the one Republican in the legislature who said, no, governor, I'm going to side with labor on these issues. And the governor ran a very, very high-profile race against him.
Is that being primaried?
Yes, he was primaried. Okay. And so the two bellwether races were the Duncan race, mm-hmm. and Ken Duncan lost. The governor was supporting him. And Sam McCann, who the governor was trying very, very hard to get rid of, won. I just got the news right
And
now.
What area is that from?
Springfield.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Down at Springfield.
Wow, so Rauner's 0-2 for so far.
For today, yeah. Well, actually, you know, there were a number
There were several contested races.
There were. And there were a number of other races where, even though the governor wasn't overtly participating, there was a lot of Rauner donors were donating very heavily in other races, and most of those, at least in the Chicago area, the traditional Democrat won.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot going on throughout the state of Illinois. More when we come back. And Bob, Rich, please hold on the line. We want to take your calls and find out what voting was like for you today. Everybody else, 312-981-7200. We're talking primaries today. It's also some extreme weather going on out there, so please be safe. More after this, 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We are talking about primary night elections, but we really want to know what your voting experience was like. We have in studio with us Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. We have Representative Robert Martwick of the 19th District. That's my neighborhood, the 38th. I'm in the 38th precinct. We also have Representative Sarah Feigenholtz. And thank you again to Pat's Pizza for keeping us fed tonight.
Yummy.
And also to Scott for bringing in some tasty beverages as well. Those are some Alabama's finest.
Some of from Huntsville, yeah. Rocket City.
This is the kind of night my husband and I used to take the day after election nights off because we just could not. We would be up all night sort of like watching the returns, whether mostly on national elections from across the country. Right now we have Rich on the line who wants to tell us about his voting experience. Hey, Rich, how did it go today?
Pretty good, Patty. How was your day?
It was lovely. I had no line in front of me either, and I did take a paper ballot. How about yourself?
Well, we have paper ballots. I live out in Rochelle, which is a small town, maybe 11,000 people or so.
I believe a friend of the show, Tim Clue, is from Rochelle.
Yes, he is. I know him and his brother, and who else is from there? Joan Allen.
Oh.
She's from there, too. I went to high school with her.
There you go. She's a great actress.
Yeah. She was my science lab partner, and she probably would have been a straight A student if she hadn't had me as a lab partner.
You tanked her grade? Does she? You should Facebook her and tell her that you apologize for that.
Yeah, that, and I know all her family too. But anyway, you know, usually when I go vote, we vote. You know, there must be maybe 10 polling places for that area, and usually there's maybe one or two people in there. You know, and they're all sitting around drinking coffee and stuff. But today there was about 40. Today there was about 40 people in there, which was pretty massive for the time of day when I voted.
Yes, but that sounds busy.
There was a group of about, maybe 10 kids come in there. Mm-hmm. I call them kids, they're 18 years old. But anyway, they were first-time voters, and it was pretty cool because the judges, got out both ballots, Democrat and Republican, because they wanted to be fair and, were showing them how to vote and how to read the ballots and stuff, and asked some of the people in line to come up and stand there with them just to make sure it was fair. But I thought that was pretty cool to see that many kids all of a sudden, start voting because, I haven't seen that many young people voting when I've been voting, It's just usually us, older people, 30s on up,
Well, that's what Representative Feigenholtz was saying, is that a lot of young people seem to be invigorated and taking part in this year's election.
Right. I mean, I don't know what's the cause of it, whether it was Sanders, talking to the young people or Donald Trump with his bizarre statements or whatever. But it's pretty cool that the younger people now are getting involved in this. Maybe that'll bring a change.
Rich,
who knows?
Do you remember the very first time you ever voted? Do you remember your first election?
Yeah, I do. I think it was years ago, but... Man, it must have been 1975 or 4, something like that. Mm-hmm. First year 18-year-olds could vote. Yeah, I remember that. It was the old punch cards, and they were just the old grumpy old people there just handed it to them and said, make sure you vote for everybody on the ballot that you want.
There you go. I think mine was in Champaign, and we still had the curtain. You could draw a curtain behind you. That was kind of cool, too. I like
and
that.
And the levers.
There were levers. Well, Champaign doesn't. I think they still use those.
Yeah, that's the way it was, I think, when I did it. You'd move some kind of pointer over it and pull a lever, and it'd punch the holes or something for you. I don't remember. I mean, because I voted a couple of times when I was in the Army by proxy ballot or whatever they called it, mail-in ballots.
Right, absentee ballot. So. Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rich, and thank you for your service, too.
Yep. Oh, thank you, and thank you for what you guys did out there for the Marines. You brought a lot more light to...
Rich, if you're online, I'll be sharing some great videos. You can see they showed us the Black Friday speech, and we also ended up doing a lot of courses. So you'll see those online. I'll let people know when those go up. Thank you so much, Rich. Have a great evening. Yep. More after this, 7:20.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
headaches, swelling. I would wake up in the mornings and wouldn't be able to talk.
Michael suffered for years with chronic sinus infections.
I'd have sinus migraines. There were days when I'd literally have to go and sleep in my closet because it was the darkest place I could find. It was pretty rough.
And his quality of life?
Couldn't go to the gym, couldn't do anything really that I enjoyed doing. Couldn't play golf because I hurt.
Then he had a new, minimally invasive in-office procedure called balloon sinuplasty. And now?
It's been wonderful. I feel great. I can't tell you how big of a relief it is to actually sleep 8 hours in a night and then wake up and feel great. No headaches. Be able to breathe out of my nose. Not as cranky as I used to be.
Do you suffer from headaches, facial pain, and pressure? Find out if balloon sinuplasty makes sense for you. Call the Apex Sinus Center. 224-424-5150. 224-424-5150. That's 224-424-5150.
And I feel better than I felt in a long time.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 10 days by calling 1-800-600-7175. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day at-home trial. 1-800-600-7175. That's 1-800-600-7175.
March.
It's that magical time of the year when everyone becomes an expert in the process of elimination.
March.
You could be the next millionaire in the men's college basketball bracket battle. Sponsored by Alpamonte Ford. Compete against WGN radio hosts.
You aren't that good. Shh, just saying.
For your shot at cash prizes and a 24-month lease of a Ford Focus. Register and play at WGNradio.com/bracket battle.
I have to ask, and should I beg our callers on the line to please hold on because we've got to do news? Don't beg them. Maybe they might stay. I don't know how to bribe them.
I have a good feeling they're going to hold on.
Bob, Neil, Sandy, please hold on the line.
I have a good feeling because I asked them to.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, they're good.
Thank you for all of that. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. When we come back, a more conversation about your election night, the primary night. Sorry, it's not election. It feels like it. It was exciting. But it's the primaries. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Representative Sarah Feigenholz. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Patty.
It's weird to call you Sarah by your first name. It's weird to me. Thank you for the pizza from Pat's. Delicious.
Wasn't it fabulous?
So good. You didn't put any green peppers. I appreciate that. Got my broccoli in. Got all my veggies. Well, I'm going to get your microphone, Scott Stantis.
Sorry.
Cartoonist extraordinaire. How's that? I've upgraded
I like
you.
This.
It's hard to say political cartoonist.
You did great. You have not stumbled on that for
now. I will now, that I brought it up. I think political cartoonist extraordinaire should all go together. Also, Representative extraordinaire, both of you extraordinary representatives, Representative Martwick from the 19th district. Sarah is of the 12th district. And we have a lot of listeners on the line who want to share their voting stories with us. We have Sandy on the line who's been on for a while, and I want to thank you so much for your patience, Sandy. What happened today?
I was a first-time election judge.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite an education. Exhausting, but where maybe they would get 1,000 voters in a general election, we had over 1,100 in the primary.
Wow.
Tons and tons of new voters, tons and tons of people that had never voted in a primary before.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Sandy, where are you an election judge?
This was in Wooddale.
Wooddale.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
what are the responsibilities of an election judge?
Depending on, we were there to verify the signatures.
Mm-hmm. How do you verify? Are there already existing, like our previous signatures are electronically captured?
There are signatures, right.
Okay.
You do not need a picture ID in Illinois. Most people have their driver's license out, which, you know, really facilitated with the spellings of the last names and things like that.
Fair enough.
But basically you are a judge from each party is verifying that the signature is correct. And you're sent over to the table where, depending on your ward, your district, we had 8 different ballots. So depending on that, you were sent over there to receive the ballot of your choosing.
That's a weird moment, by the way. Can I just, Sandy? It seemed to be a little bit loud, like about which ballot you were getting. It seemed like that should have been a more discreet process. Were you guys kind of yelling down the table, "Hey, we need a Republican ballot down here"? Because that happened in the 38th.
You know,
there's a Republican in the 38th.
Yeah, there are.
Well, in the old days, you know, your Republicans didn't come out because. In the old patronage days of the Chicago political machine, and I know people think it still exists, but I'm talking like the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. Republicans didn't come vote in primaries because you didn't want your precinct captain to know you were taking a Republican ballot.
Right.
So, yeah.
How did you guys handle that, Sandy, when someone asked for a certain ballot? You didn't yell down the table and say, "Hand me a nonpartisan one," did you?
No, you know what? Yes and no. I tried to phrase it when people came up to me and I would say, "Which would you prefer this evening? Would you like a Democratic or a Republican ballot for the vote this evening?" I noticed other judges were saying, you know, "Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican?" Which it was,
right?
You know, I thought a little rough.
Hey, Sandy, quick question for you. You know, the Wooddale for years was the bastion of Republican DuPage County, and much of that's changed. I'm curious, do you know offhand what the ballot split was? Because there was a lot of excitement in both presidential primaries.
I do. We up until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it was like neck and neck. And by the time we closed, the Democratic request for ballots was way ahead by hundreds.
Wow.
Who won that precinct? Do you know a presidential on the Democratic side? Can you say?
No, you know what? I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Because it gets very hectic at the end with everything that you've got to close down and all the signings and everything that you do. So, I have to anxiously look in the paper or wait, you know, like everyone else. But it was quite an amazing, you know, experience to see, again, the number of young people that came out and the number of people that had never voted in a primary before. And their reaction to having to, a lot of people didn't realize that you did have to declare which ballot
right.
you wanted to take.
That's a startling moment when they ask you that. And like I said, it was weird when they would yell down the table. I was like, oh, I thought we were going to be a little more discreet about this. It's kind of the point of voting.
You know, but I made sure to explain that, you know, come, you know, November, that the same situation would not be.
Right.
You know, applicable, and you know why they had to choose.
You voted for Trump. What's wrong with you? Just like standing there taking the ballot. Well, thank you, Sandy. Will you be a judge again?
You know what? It's a very exhausting day, so I have to think about it. There's 8 months that I've got
to think about it. Well, thank you so much. We look forward to catching up with you again.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We have Neil, who's been on hold for quite a long time. Hey, Neil, what was your voting experience like? Neil? Oh, Neil's waited so long. Hello, Neil. Did we lose Neil? Let me hold on to him for a minute. There we go. Let's see. I've got Bob, who's also been holding on for a while. Hey, Bob, are you still there?
Yep. He's still here.
What was your... You're not still in line for voting, are you?
No.
How did it go today?
You know, when I went to vote, there were all kind of signs around no cell phones.
Oh, interesting point. Yes.
And as I got the ballot, and you were going down through the line, and here's one of the judges, I assume, having a cell phone underneath the table. And I said, is that a cell phone? I hope it's not on. And the woman next to her says, oh, she's eating. Well, she's got both hands below the table.
Right.
And I said, you eat with your hands below the table?
But, yeah, just your hands, but not...
Where's she putting the food? Good Lord.
Do we need an adult warning on this, Bob? I'm not sure.
And she says, well, what's the problem with it? I said, you have no cell phones everywhere.
Mm-hmm. The sign's right.
I said, I don't think it's right for the judges. I said, I hope she's not keeping tabs of who's voting Democrat.
Oh,
or who's voting
that's
Republican.
A concern with the cell phones is to sort
I
of...
said, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, tried to slough me off.
Did you feel... Where were you voting, Bob?
It was Bloomingdale.
Bloomingdale. Did you feel like that it got resolved, or you kind of feel like that was left out there?
No, I said, where's one of the officials here?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, why don't you go and vote?
Oh, dear. So they just dismissed you. I'm sorry to hear that. That sounds like an unfortunate situation.
That's not good, I don't think.
No. Well, thank you for letting us know. And, you know, I mean, that's one of the things where maybe we have to be vigilant about, you know, what people are doing around us. I did ask Representative Martwick. I asked them while I was there because I had never seen a nonpartisan ballot before. And it was you only get like two choices. I don't even know what those offices were I wanted to take a picture of it. And I didn't because I actually know that you're not supposed to take a picture of the ballot.
Right.
But I asked them if I could, and they go, I don't know. They didn't know at our polling place.
I love how you say his name, Representative Martwick, because you say it like
Martwick?
One word.
It's Representative Martwick. Martwick, yes. Political cartoonist.
Martwick.
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 No, Martwick is his name. It's Rob Martwick. So it's.
It is one word. I thought it was Markwick.
Martwick.
It's Martwick. No, yes. I would be wrong.
Yes.
Yet again.
I don't know what just happened. But Molark would like to join her. Molark?
Cool.
Am I saying your name correctly?
Cool whip. I don't know how Scott says it, but I say cool whip.
Cool whip?
Molark? Yeah. Is that your name, sir? Ma'am? Sir? Ma'am? Molark? Craig, who do we have on the air right now? Okay. I'm just going to here.
Molark was the man's name. He did ask me, he did tell me how to spell it.
So. Molark?
Molark!
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. How are you?
Very well, thank you. We're glad you called in. Where are you calling from? What neighborhood?
I just called in to report my experience of early voting for a couple of weeks ago. And it was very nice, and it seemed to, like the atmosphere of voting, especially here on the South Side, seemed to be a positive experience throughout. My cousin emailed me today and said he had a great time voting.
Yes, that's what it should be. It should be jubilant.
Yes, I think so. And, not only because we're Democrats, because we really are, but I think the Democrats won heavily today in face of the governor, and that it means several important lessons for him. I hope he can read it.
Well, I'm glad that you. And now, do you have a chance to listen to the show? Because we often try to make sure that we're, keeping track of what's going on in Springfield. So please make sure you tune in. We'll be going back to Springfield when everybody else goes back to work. Representatives, I'm kidding. I know the senators are down there. Malark, there's a lot of work to be done, isn't there, in the state?
And I want to say that's very good. Your own coverage of the state legislature has been very helpful and very good. And I do hope you keep it up, bringing on the representatives and so on so we can get more information. I think you're doing a very good job.
Oh, Malark, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. We look forward to hearing from you again and let us know how the rest of your experience is going forward.
Okay, thank you very
Wonderful.
Much.
Wonderful. Did you want to say something?
Wait. You know, he brings up a good point that early voting is something that has really taken off. More and more people every election are doing it. It's really changing the dynamic of elections. It, of course, makes voting more convenient, but from a strategy standpoint, it's so much more important that you get your message out early.
Yes.
Because people are voting, and you know, you see some candidates who get started late and they can't make up the difference.
Yeah, no, it's entirely true. And this has been an interesting season, no doubt. I mean, because the primary for the presidential primary started in July last summer. So we've been at this for a while, mm-hmm. but people have been paying attention to what's going on in Illinois since I think the governor gave his address last February. People were like, I'm sorry, what did you say about minimum wage? I'm sorry, what did you just do in April to autism? So hopefully this is, people are reacting and saying, wait a minute, I need to be proactive in this situation. Yes. We can say
no, I was just going to say, Chicago Tribune actually endorsed Mark Rubio last week, which was probably the what killed his campaign.
Yeah.
Because the we thought it would bring it up, but he did get 8.5% of the vote after the Tribune endorsement. So do either of you, were you endorsed? Were you endorsed by the Tribune?
No, I was not endorsed. I mean, I was unopposed, so there was no endorsement.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So when I ran in 2012, I was not endorsed.
No.
I'm sorry.
They also never interviewed me. They just...
Well, we asked you.
We'll interview you.
The questionnaire. Oh, yes, we did.
Oh, no. The questionnaire was submitted, but there was never...
Were you contested race, though? I mean,
I was in a contested race. There was never an interview. And without an interview, and I called about four or five times, without any endorsement interview, they endorsed my opponent. And said some stuff about me being, I wouldn't be a good guardian of the taxpayers.
But it's all water under the bridge.
Was that in a primary?
It was in a primary. Yes. There was no endorsement interview.
That's weird. That was a mistake.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if Representative Cabello was endorsed by the Tribune. We'll talk to him when we come back on 720 WGN. Every game counts. The battle for the playoffs heat up as the Bulls charge into Washington. Bulls, Wizards tonight at 6 on WGN-TV. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And this rainy night, seems like it's cleared through Chicago. Hope you're safe where you are tonight. Give us a call at any time throughout the show if you want to let us know how weather is near you. There are some parts of the state that are experiencing extreme weather. 312-981-7200. We have Representatives Sarah Feigenholz, Robert Martwick, and cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. And on the line with us, we have Representative John Cabello. I believe we decided last night that I could call you Representative Cabello. How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
Very well. So how was your day today? Did you vote today or did you vote early?
I voted today. I like to vote on the actual day.
Interesting. Everybody in the studio except for Scott.
Yeah.
Everybody. How was your polling place?
good. They handed out the wrong ballot to a few folks and got that corrected.
How do you mean they handed out the wrong one?
They had a separate ballot for just federal elections. And that was for apparently mostly for military folks that are overseas. So okay. I don't know why they had it at our.
Yeah, that shouldn't have even been on location.
Right. So they estimate about 8 people may have gotten the wrong ballot, including my father. So it's okay.
So wait, John, your dad couldn't vote for you?
Yeah, that's correct.
That probably went over well.
It would be pretty shocking for everybody to know that my dad was a Democrat for his whole life until he had to start voting for me in primaries and became a Republican.
I knew I liked
your
dad.
As far as you know. So we talked last night, and you've come out over the weekend supporting Donald Trump. How did you feel about his acceptance speeches as far as his victories across the country today?
Well, believe it or not, I did not get to see it. I was in one of our local TV stations doing commentary from about 8:30 tonight until about 11:30 tonight.
So
I didn't get to see it.
What were they interested in talking to you about? Was it mostly the local races and as far as it goes, with the state offices that are kind of up for grabs in the primaries and how that reflects on the governor's success this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was myself and Representative Lakeisha Wallace, so they had kind of a balanced approach to what they were doing.
Oh, there you go. What were you say, Representative Martwick?
We're balanced. We've got Scott.
Yeah, because in Chicago, Juliana Stratton has won against Ken Duncan. And it was interesting because that was actually a Democratic race, but many people have been watching that one because Ken Duncan has been voting against Michael Madigan's proposals, some of his legislation over the last year.
Well, to be fair, he just leaves town sometimes.
Sometimes. Right? Was that a race you guys were watching at all? Or was that kind of something that plays out in Chicago?
That's something that plays out in Chicago.
Okay. And what were the other hot races in the Rockford area?
We had a Boone County attorney, state's attorney's race. Two Republicans, the incumbent lost to a newcomer who used to be a Rockford police officer that I worked with. So that was a big one. There was a couple of Stevenson County races, some Winnebago County board races, and the presidential is really what they covered with
And how did you have the numbers for how the candidates did in your area as far as the Democratic ticket and the Republican ticket?
No, not yet. We are going to pour over those numbers tomorrow and as soon as we can get our hands on them. But the station just had the the little ticker at the bottom going across. They didn't have any other numbers provided for us.
But I think everyone's pretty confident that Donald Trump will be at the top of the Republican candidate, the ticket for the presidency.
Yeah, yeah. We believe that, with Kasich finally winning a state, he may stay in now.
That was Scott snorting, by the way.
Yeah,
for the record,
that was my
Scott
snort,
Santas
yes.
I said that for the record.
A little bit longer. It does make it a little bit more difficult for Trump. He's going to have to probably win 60% of everything from here on out.
Well, and Marco Rubio has dropped out, so it really becomes a race between him and Cruz, depending on how the rest of the states play out. Do you get a sense? I mean, because I've wondered about this. I've heard rumblings that there might be a brokered deal at the convention. That sounds like something that would be a little bit shady as far as most Republicans are concerned, considering the large number of people who have voted for him so far.
Yeah, you know, we should never circumvent what the voters want. He has gotten legitimately those votes. I think it's always horrible when you vote against the will of the people. And I think that would be a disaster and would cause more problems than it would do good.
And I asked you this last night. We talked briefly about your support for Donald Trump. One of the things that you mentioned was his support of the Second Amendment. I've been trying to wrap my mind around this because this is one that you and I will definitely disagree on. Because I can't, and I mentioned some of the language that he uses. Are there other things in his campaign that you are drawn to aside from the Second Amendment?
Well, like I think I said a little bit last night, I like the fact that he definitely wants to take care of our
The military.
Military folks,
yes.
when they get back, especially if they've been wounded. I believe that he's definitely in support of Israel. That is something that I mentioned in my speech when I endorsed him. So, he's got most of the core values that the Republicans are looking for. It's just sometimes he may get out ahead of himself a little bit in what he has to say.
So are you concerned
also,
at all about some of
did you always cover exactly what he says?
Right. Do you hope, I mean, because I sent you that link to the, you said you had not seen that videotape of the speech he gave when he was mocking the disabled reporter. I wasn't sure if you had a chance to watch that one.
I apologize. I have not.
Okay.
I've got about
75 well, we will
messages on my phone that I haven't even looked at. Just
that's all right. It was a busy day, but I so appreciate your time, and I know that you've been up for a long time. We'll talk to you again in the next couple weeks. Check
absolutely.
In.
Look forward to it.
I'll definitely see you in Springfield. Did you want to say something, Scott?
No.
All right.
No. We're going to break, right?
I don't want, yes, go ahead.
I'm just curious, John. I mean, it's Rob Martwick. And as a, how are you? So as a Trump supporter, if I ask you this question, you know, of course, Rubio dropping out, it seems like Trump has gotten a lot of the votes from the candidates who've dropped out. But if there were to be a serious challenge to him, where do you think if the Rubio support does not go to Trump, where do you think it goes? Does it go to Cruz or does it go to Kasich? Is it more establishment or is it more Cruz?
I think it goes more establishment, which is now Kasich.
Okay.
It seems to be moving with the establishment going in different directions. And that's one of the reasons why I voted and endorsed Trump. Sometimes the establishment is not the best way to go. And I mean,
that was something we mentioned last night was a lot of people are looking for people who aren't lifelong politicians.
Right. We've been going in the same direction for quite some time. And the establishment is the guys that are brokering the deals behind the closed doors. And obviously it's not working for us. So it's time to try something new.
Sarah, did you want to?
Guess what? I've gotten a lot of heat from endorsing Trump, and I'm okay with that.
I can imagine.
One thing that I want to make sure that everybody knows is if you don't like something and you don't have a chance of sitting at the table with the person that you don't like what's saying, you're never going to have the opportunity to try to change how things are going.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at the table, guess what? Now you have a way of saying, maybe we shouldn't say this type of things anymore. Maybe we should focus on the issues, and maybe we should move in a different direction.
Sarah?
Hey, it's Sarah. How are you? How about those cubbies? How are you?
So, good.
Can I, John? Would you mind? Okay. Would you mind holding on through a news break? We can call you back. Will you stay up for just one more segment? Because I don't want to cut off Sarah Feigenholtz, Representative Feigenholtz.
Don't.
But Craig's like, please. And you're right. I've let it go because we're having so much fun. It's exciting. It's primaries night. More after this on 720 WGN.
GN.
You're listening pretty late. Are you playing country music for a reason? Is it something that John Cabello requests this music? Is that what happened? Is that your music,
no,
John?
No, I'm just playing it because
Representative Cabello
thought he might feel
I right. am not a country fan.
You're from Texas.
I know. I'm a hard rock fan.
Oh.
I'm a Metallica fan.
Oh, I like that. All right, then. Cue that up for the – can you pull some of that up while we talk to Representative Cabello? This is kind of exciting. I have Representative John Cabello on the line. We also have the 69th district. 8th. Oh, I'm so close. 68th. Rockford area. Yes?
Yes, ma'am.
And we also have Representative Martwick, who is of the 19th district, Sarah Feigenholtz of the 12th district, Scott Santas, the Tribune.
Yeah. Of the Tribune. I just want to point something out, mm-hmm. Representative John, that we're just pulling up the numbers now. In Winnebago County, Donald Trump came in second.
Oh!
To Ted
really?
Cruz. Yes. 40-55 was 15,457 for Cruz, 13,421 for Trump.
Interesting.
And the Tribune endorsed Rubio came in fourth with 2,400 votes.
Well, Cruz was just here yesterday in Rockford. So that's probably how he moved forward. We were hearing that Trump was in the lead here in Winnebago County, but you know, when you show up to the actual location, sometimes you can get some more support.
It makes a difference. Representative Feigenholtz, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, John, you are someone who I regard as someone who cooperates and really wants to get to yes on a lot of issues down in Springfield. I didn't hear the show that you were on with Patty, but I just kind of want to get a sense of what... I know that John Kasich, his values align on the Second Amendment, I believe, with Donald Trump. I would have thought that you would have had another choice, and I'm just kind of curious.
We're going after a Trump supporter right now.
I'll tell you what.
He can take it.
Sarah can come after me anytime she wants.
Free reign right there. All right.
Right and respect. The thing that I think about John Kasich is that he's a little bit weak. I want somebody that's going to be a strong presence in the White House. I want somebody that's going to stand up to Putin. I want somebody that's going to stand up and make sure that our men and women of our military...
Well, let's bear in mind that Putin did endorse Donald Trump, so...
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he said nice things about Donald Trump.
Okay, well, they said nice things about... I mean, Donald Trump has said that Putin is
strong. To his credit, Donald Trump almost never takes his shirt off.
Okay.
So,
sorry,
please, go on. I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead. Sorry, Rob.
Go ahead, John. I want to still love you. I want to hear why. I need to know why, baby.
Well, that's one thing. You know, I think we need to make sure that our future is bright. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter after we elect a new president. Whoever that new president is, it's going to be my president. We're going to have to make sure that we stand together and we move forward together.
See, I love that. I don't think enough people say that whoever we elect, that is our president. And I wish that we could all kind of come to that moment supporting
Patty,
our president.
This is I'm so perplexed because I believe Representative Cabello and what he just said, but I don't see that aligning with what we've been seeing with Donald Trump. I don't see him as the kind of guy who wants to do that. You know,
unify people?
Yeah. I don't see that. Do you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people, John, do you get the sense that once, because he has said that the person that's campaigning now isn't the person that would be president. Is that, because that was a little bit of that Mitt Romney strategist who said it's kind of an etch-a-sketch thing. Is that kind of?
Yeah. I mean, we're in a primary. So we all have to, go towards our base. Well, I think Donald Trump is doing something a little different. I think he is stepping out of the box and he's going, look, I'm going to tell you how I feel. I'm going to tell you exactly the way I think. And let's see, at the end of the day, who is doing better. And guess what? Who is doing better? Donald Trump. It's not just with Republicans, and it's not just with independents. He's bringing Democrats over to his side, and we can see that the Republican Party with Donald Trump right now is growing their tent. And at the end of the day, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to include everybody. And if you listen to some of the things that he said in the full context and not just a short media clip, you will understand, I think, exactly what he
said. Can you send me those links?
I would say that you could probably Google Donald Trump in his rallies.
Okay.
I think they
so you're saying watch the entire
all
thing?
Of the speech online.
Okay. I think that that's probably, I mean, I have definitely listened to just bits and pieces as the clip I sent. Scott, are you just, you're like, you're trying to think.
I just have to say my brain is playing back some of the Donald Trump's greatest hits from the last couple of months.
I think what we should do, you and I, sir, we should sit down, we should get some popcorn, and we should
watch.
Who
do you support?
I just want to finish this because I don't think you want to build a wall between here and Mexico and make Mexico pay it. I just don't see your values aligning with his. That's all.
The person that she knows,
I mean,
personally.
We all have our reasonings, but may I ask, who do you support?
I am a big supporter of Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
But I also have a great appreciation for much of what Bernie Sanders is trying to accomplish as a policymaker and a great deal of respect for him.
Gotcha. And you know what? I am never going to ask you the questions you just asked me.
Oh, interesting.
It's none of my business. You should be able to support who you want to support. I should be able to support who I want to support. Instead of saying, why are you doing that? Say, you know what? We live in a country where you have the right to do that.
You're right.
You're getting some nods all across.
All right. Everybody agrees
with
that.
We all nodded.
No, I don't. Right. You're not getting an agreement here. I think you have an absolute right to ask that question. I was going to ask.
John, by the way, Scott is the resident conservative on my show. So here we go.
Representative Sarah, later about supporting Hillary Clinton when there are some ethically challenged moments after moment with Secretary Clinton, and that I would like to ask her about that. So, no, those are totally legitimate questions. Why would you support this guy? He seems divisive. His temperament is that of a petulant child. I'm saying this as a Republican, someone who wants the Republican representative to be the grown-up in the room, and this guy isn't. And that's why it surprises me that someone who is sober and thoughtful.
And one of my favorites.
And one of Patty's favorites.
And a Cub fan.
Oh. And a Cubs fan. There's so much to like. It's surprising, and I can't get my hands around people who support him. And I'm not saying you're evil. I can't quite grasp why someone who has your values, who has your record, would support someone like a Donald Trump versus, say, a Kasich or a Rubio or even a Cruz.
I think he's asked and answered, though. He really has.
He has. No, he has. But he said that, you know, I wouldn't ask you those questions.
Right. Because,
well,
yeah, he said he does. And he's right. I'm going to back off, and then you could be the attack dog.
Okay, here's...
I could be the jerk.
Let me go ahead, John. Real quick. You know, it's what, as a conservative Republican, I am open to options of pretty much anything to make sure that we get the best for the state of Illinois. There are some things that I might not compromise on, but almost everything else, you know, there's a lot of things that I am very open to make sure that, number one, our taxpayers are protected. Number two, that we're doing our jobs to make sure that the people that we represent are getting what they need. But what the Republican Party has been doing obviously hasn't been working. I think the establishment is way too much involved in who goes where, who gets what, who's elected to what. I think he is doing something that needs to be done, and that's shaking up and getting, hopefully, rid of the establishment that has been bringing us down a path that I don't think they want to compromise. I don't think they want to sit down and say, look, I understand that, you know, Sarah Feigenholz may represent a section of the population that I can't understand. I don't know why they would be against this when I'm actually, you know, when I'm for it.
Right.
I just think we've lost the art of being able to sit down not as Republicans, not as Democrats, but as people to work out our situations.
Well, someone, actually, Marco Rubio, I was wondering where this guy was. The guy who spoke tonight was just a terrific concession speech. And he talked about what?
It was. I'm sorry. It's just funny. Like, he's an exceptional concession speaker.
No, it was.
He was great in Iowa. He was a great third place speaker. I thought so, too.
Well, so, like, do you remember Kennedy in 1980 when he gave the speech at the convention? And it was a magnificent speech. And everyone in the hall is going, where was this guy?
Yeah.
Where was this guy?
Because so maybe they're just better at losing.
Maybe. But he had a great analysis saying that, you know, and he was. Rubio was part of the Tea Party revolution that brought in a lot of Republican representatives for the Tea Party. And he said, you know what happened? Nothing. And that's where the frustration comes. And that's where I think the success of Trump is born. Is that do you think that's a good analysis?
Yeah. John?
I do.
John, I stand hat in hand and look forward to you being the emissary of your colleagues from both sides of the aisle to talk to this man and possibly add value to his message.
Well, and I'll just add, if he's listening to you, John, I you know, you always conduct yourself with such respect and dignity and professionalism on the floor of the House of Representatives. I hope that you can get him to stop talking about his man parts and seriously. And I mean, I'm being serious about this because
I apologize.
One of the things that I don't like is that it seems like the Republican primary has devolved into a reality show. And I just think when he says little Marco and liar Ted, I mean, how about Senator Rubio and Senator Cruz? They've earned those titles and there should be that respect. So, you know, if he's taking your counsel, I hope you advise him on that, because if he's going to be potentially the next president of the United States, I hope he learns those lessons quickly for all of our benefits.
There you go. This was fantastic. How do you feel, Representative Cabello? I feel like we should. I wish you would be in studio with us next time.
Well, let's try to arrange that. I think that would be a lot of fun.
I got
a spare bedroom, John. You can crash at my place.
There you go. This all works very well. If only you guys were all in Springfield right now, we'd even have more fun. I'm just teasing my Democrats in the studio. Representative Cabello, thank you so much for your time. And everybody can go find out more about Representative John Cabello at johncabello.org. Again, the 68th District, that's the areas around Rockford. And we'll talk to you again in the next couple weeks.
Hey, I look forward to it. You guys have fun and behave.
Too late.
We always behave.
Well, I don't know about that. You guys are legislators. Thank you so much. More after this on 720 WGN. And Isaac, hold on the line. We will take your call right after this. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I apologize to all the representatives, including Representative John Cabello and Representative Sarah Feigenholz and Representative Robert Martwick, because I stopped saying representative in the last segment because I couldn't say representative over and over and over. That's the first time I've called you all by your names. It was getting a little exhausting. It's a long word.
Yeah, it is.
It's a very long word. Isaac wanted to join the conversation. Isaac, I know that we let Representative John Cabello go because he was at home and I didn't want to hold on to him too long. He was gracious with his time. But what did you want to say as far as that conversation went?
What is going on in this world where people are – I just can't believe the support this buffoon is getting. And then from elected officials to – I just don't get it. I don't get what's going on with humanity. It's just not right.
Here's where I am, Isaac, and I think that we all are coming from different places on this, because I think what I was going to say last night is I think we're also kind of all taking this personally, and I think there are people who don't put the personal in politics. Although, I mean, they might come from their own personal experiences, their own rage, but maybe it's the feelings of others that it becomes less important, and we all have to go, okay, this can't be personal to me either. I can't react in a way. If I'm at a protest and someone's yelling at me, I have to understand that they're mad about something. It doesn't mean it's me. And that's where we need to stop taking it so personally. Even though being a citizen is a personal experience, in this situation we have to kind of cut through all that and figure out where people are responding from. And there are things that are more important to them than polite speech and a code of conduct that perhaps many people aspire to. I don't know, Isaac. I'm working through my opinions on this.
No,
because there's a lot of people I like that support Trump.
But even if you take out all the personal feelings, what, besides making everything great and everything wonderful, what policy does he have?
I know.
He doesn't have any policies. And you know, Isaac,
circus, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you know, we've created this situation in our country where we sensationalize everything. You know, we're a reality show world, and Donald Trump is a reality show star, and it's like the perfect fit, and we've created this. It is. And I mean, we just look, I'll tell you what, I give him credit because he saw a lane that a lot of us, and we were talking around here, no one thought that he would get as far as he did. And we're just looking at results, and he won like every single county in North Carolina.
Somebody did think he would get as far as he did.
Yes, Patty did. Yes, yeah. I know. Well,
xenophobia and fear tactics is ugly.
Yeah, it is. Like you said, it's degrading to the office of the presidency, but that's where we're at. People are angry, and people like, you know, he's making for some people who are interested in what's going on in the Kardashians' life, I imagine, he's making the presidential race exciting and interesting for them, and they otherwise probably wouldn't pay much attention.
Until the world disappears, I mean, it's now it's drastic, but that's scary to have somebody like that as president.
Well, the important thing to remember, Isaac, is that the only way he doesn't become president is if you get involved. Mm-hmm. So get involved, stay involved, you know, don't just go out and vote. Make sure you advocate to other people about your views and why you think he shouldn't be a president. That's democracy. You can be as involved as you like.
And that's why we continue to have a conversation, and we do keep the phone lines open for every point of view. We're not going to agree, and people know that I don't like Trump. I am really struggling with people that I admire and respect and actually love who support Trump and have no qualms about. But that's where we are right now, so I have to kind of figure that out. I'm not going to cut people out of my life, but I struggle with it too, Isaac. I agree. But we have to continue to have respect for each other, even if we disagree with each other so strongly. And we're afraid. I agree, Isaac. There's something kind of terrifying about it to me.
You guys are awesome. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Isaac, we're going to be here for you. Isaac, I don't feel like I feel like you're a little sad. This is good that we're having the conversation. This is why we will prevail as far as Americans go, regardless of what the outcome is.
I think that Isaac is, that he's feeling the way a lot of people feel tonight.
Yes.
Which is, how are we dealing with this? A lot of people call him a madman.
Mm-hmm. Isaac, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut
he's
you off.
He's a madman.
Yeah.
He's a madman. I hate to compare him to Mussolini or Stalin, but he's doing the same thing, and people are just eating it up. It's horrible. I don't know any other way to put it.
I'm sorry, Scott.
On, it's scarier it gets.
I couldn't agree with you more, Isaac. This is Scott Stainis. I couldn't agree. You know what really pisses me off? Can I say that on the
air
this late at night? I did, but I didn't get beeped. Good. Yeah. You know what really ticks me off on his campaign? There's a myriad of things that this petulant child who talks about his wiener, there's a long, long list. But you know what really ticks me off? His damn hat. Make America Great Again. Mm-hmm. You know what? Screw you. America's great right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
Isaac, thank you. Yep.
Sorry, I'm getting angry.
No, you bring up a great point. You know, there's so much anger around the election that's going on, right? Which is why you see Bernie Sanders' success, why you see Donald Trump's success. Mm-hmm. There's so much anger, and it's fascinating to me. We are the envy of the world economically. We continue to be head and shoulders above the rest of the world combined militarily. We outrank everyone in terms of culture, and we have everything at our disposal, and yet there are people that are upset with our system, and that's it's just the nature of democracy. We get to be, right?
We get to be upset. Well, we'll be more upset. Well, maybe we'll be less upset. We'll see what happens after the news. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We are doing our primary night wrap-up with Representative Robert Martwick of the 19th District, Representative Sarah Feigenholz of the 12th, Scott Stantis of the Chicago Tribune,
right,
cartoonist
here.
Extraordinaire. What is your district? Do you know what your district is?
I don't. Oh, okay. My God. Now you're making me. I know I'm in the 42nd Aldermatic.
There you go. Are you really 42nd?
Yeah, this is right here. I'm right over.
Yeah.
You know, I'm.
He can walk home.
I can. And do.
Yeah, you can skip home if you want.
I keep the streets safe.
He does. That's what it is. Craig, do you know
yeah,
your
some
district?
Guy with a gun. I can draw your nose this big.
But you voted. Craig had an interesting voting experience today.
Yeah, I went to somebody's apartment.
Really, is that what they're calling it in your district now?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
he voted.
Jokes. Where do you live?
I live in Edgewater, and so there is a apartment complex for the elderly just on Peterson, and I guess we voted there.
You guess. You
I mean, I did. I went there and I voted, so
you,
I'm pretty
sure
that
sure voted there.
I think so.
Like by Ridge? Peterson and Ridge?
Correct, yeah. Like right around where that White Castle is.
Sure.
Okay. Uh-huh. Esmeralda, did you vote today as well?
I did.
And thank you very much for sending this link. Where do you live?
I live in, I don't know what district it is.
That's all right.
But it's Albany Park. Mm-hmm. So I live right at Montrose and Kedzie, whatever that
is. You live in Representative Andrade's district, probably, mm-hmm. I think.
That sounds familiar?
That sounds familiar.
Hi, man.
Yeah. 40th district, I believe, right? Isn't Jamie the 40th?
Sure. No.
Jaime Andrade. And then, yeah. You know, there were some really interesting, and we bring up Representative Andrade, who won a very big race against someone who tried to play to the left of him, a gentleman by the name of Harish Patel, tried to say, I'm more of the real progressive, not Jaime. And Jaime won big. He got 60% of the vote, which is really great. But, you know, there's another interesting dynamic. The Chicago Teachers Union was very active in a number of legislative races, contested legislative races. And by my count, they won 9 out of 10 of those races.
Interesting. Throughout the Chicagoland area.
Yeah. There was, of course, Juliana Stratton against Ken Duncan they were involved in. There was Sonia Harper, who replaced our colleague
Esther
Golar, who passed away when Ken Duncan missed that vote. She was appointed, and she was being faced with some competition from someone who was backed very heavily by charter school interests, and the Chicago Teachers Union backed her as well, and she won big. And so, you know, they had a really, really good day. A Senate race, Omar Aquino, mm-hmm. Who was backed by CTU, was running against a young lady by the name of Angelica Alfaro, who was backed. She actually is a Noble Charter Schools employee, mm-hmm. and was backed heavily by those same Rauner donors who backed charter schools, and Omar won as well. So they had a really good day. And, you know, it's interesting, too. We did Mr. Aquino's race, there was a poll done. And, you know, you always poll different politicians to see what their name ID is and what their favorability is. Governor Rauner in that poll had a 17% favorable rating and a 67% unfavorable rating.
Wow.
And the Chicago Teachers Union had a 58% favorable rating, which was only surpassed by Chuy Garcia.
Really?
Yes.
Wait,
so
what was, I mean, Chuy Garcia was rated was, favorably for what?
You're testing.
Interesting. Yeah.
You're testing people. You know, what's their name ID? What's their favorable rating? You want to see where the, and you don't just test.
Did they know he was on the ballot back in April?
Well, yes, but but you see, you throw somebody on there like that because you want identifiable names. So you test ROM. Not that you're necessarily going to use them, but you want to mix it up so people don't know exactly who you're polling.
Do you have anything on that on your polling that looked like that? Like, do you know this?
No, I don't, I'm in the 9th district, by the way.
Oh.
No. I think what Rob is trying to say is that, you know, a lot of times when you're a candidate, you go quote in the field, or you commission a poll. You pay.
Oh,
for a,
I see what you're saying.
You
okay.
pay for a poll to be done, and you test certain issues, like you test the mayor's favorability, you test Rauner's
gotcha.
Favor, so that when you design your mail plan or your communication plan, you tie yourself to the most popular person, or you know to tie yourself to them.
Interesting.
And if you're going to go negative on your opponent, you tie them to the least popular. It's just
right.
a roadmap.
And
yeah.
there was on Cap Facts, I don't know if I can say that, but on Rich Miller's blog, there was a picture of a lawn sign that was produced, and it said Hillary Rom 16, right?
Oh, yeah, we have a sticker just outside the studio here.
Yes, and of course, there is no connection there, official or, I mean, you know, he did work in the White
but
House.
But so you tie them to someone who's unfavorable
right.
in order to create a distasteful
yes.
sort
exactly.
of.
Well,
Bernie
he
did
Sanders
her.
Did it Friday
yeah.
when he stood in Summit, Illinois with a crowd of people and said, thank you, Rahm Emanuel.
For not.
Yeah, so he obviously went into the field and had, you know, put his finger up in the air and said, I can see which way the wind is blowing in Chicago these days, and took advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Speaking of stickers, by the way, Esmeralda, thank you so much for sending me that link to DNA Info explaining why we don't get stickers in Chicago anymore.
Why don't we?
Because we were slobs with them.
We just can't have anything nice.
We can't have nice things, Craig. People were putting them on walls and windows. So they
I wanted
giving.
stickers so bad this year. I wanted just a couple.
We'll have to buy our own.
Okay.
We'll get some.
Yep. Cool. They said that the Board of Elections stopped giving them out because people would take the stickers and just put them on walls, said Jim Allen, a spokesman for the board. And the problem became so bad, people stopped letting their buildings be used as polling places, fearful of the dreaded stickers.
Walls can't vote.
No.
Couldn't That's they crazy. Just make them less
Can't buy
sticky?
Spray paint in Chicago either.
Thank you, Scott.
What about
a slow little turn?
Maybe they could just put a little less sticky glue on the back of them.
Yeah.
Make it easy to get them off
It'll
the
just
walls.
Just fall off, right? It only works on cloth.
Color forms.
This is very specific.
Can we have pins?
I was thinking about buttons.
Here you go. Yeah, more. I like that.
Okay. Now they're weapons.
If you can't trust people with glue, what are you going to trust them with, a sharp object?
Face paint.
Oh, let's face paint each other.
Oh, skin tint, like that little.
That sounds so great.
Temporary tattoos. Oh, I voted. I like
if they have a paint bucket and you could just dunk your head in it after you vote.
That would be the best.
No, because then people would start swinging their heads around and spraying the walls.
Oh. We can't have anything nice.
Yeah. Swing my hair around. How's that song?
Whip my hair back and
whip
forth.
Whip my hair back.
Willow Smith.
I don't know what's happening.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So the Smith kids.
We just get receipts. In Chicago, you just get a receipt.
Yeah. And everybody still posted those all over Facebook.
Receipts
were everywhere.
I posted a picture of the box that I submitted my ballot to that sort of counts it. I was the 84th voter.
Ooh, so was I.
What?
That is weird.
What time did you vote?
8 a.m.
I was number 5.
I voted at 3:15 p.m. I was like, exactly. That's exactly the appropriate phase in the 38 precinct out of 815 registered voters in Gladstone Park.
I did the electronic ballot and I didn't get a receipt.
What?
I didn't even do that. I didn't get a receipt.
Oh no, you don't. I think you're right. If you don't.
Yeah. I didn't even get that.
Did you get a thumbs up?
Okay.
You got a thumbs up. Did you get
a job? High five.
See you later.
I like the electronic ballot. I do.
I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
I don't like it. Feels like I'm at an ATM.
I like coloring.
Me too.
It's a marker.
That marker? I know. Did you almost want to keep the marker?
I know. But
I almost walked off with it, and the guy said, hey, give me that pen.
Yeah, because it writes pretty well. You, Esmeralda?
Ours are attached.
What?
They were because they know. Again, we can't have nice things.
You can't have nice things, Esmeralda. Just walk off with them. These are the yes, Scott. What did you have? Did you say you used a marker on yours as well?
No. It's just
early
a pen.
Voting.
Yeah, just
it's not just a pen.
Like at the bank, you know, they're on chains.
But it's a special, right? You have to have you have to use the pen that they give
you.
Yeah,
they have to give you.
No, I just used my own pen. It was in my house.
It doesn't count. You voted at your house. You did a mail-in vote.
Yeah,
spoiled. Oh. His vote is spoiled.
No,
spoiled.
Who? What?
Yeah,
that's boring. Scott Stantiff. Mail.
Turn on him. Everyone, turn on him.
Good Lord.
Is this how apathetic you are about this season's election?
No, I did it. I mean, come on.
Fine. Here's my stamp. Do you have to put your own stamp? Is it a self-address? Yeah. It's not.
You have to stamp it, yeah.
Why didn't you just go vote somewhere?
Did you do anything special?
Vote by mail's cool.
Did I do anything special? Did I do a drawing on the ballot or something?
You can vote in your underwear.
What kind of stamp?
No.
Right. Well, he was filling it out.
Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't.
Maybe he had a nice drink. Maybe he lit some candles or something. I don't know what you did.
Yeah,
you put on some nice music. They really frown on that when you go to the voter booth with that.
Yeah, draw a bath. Are you in the bathtub? I see Scott with it.
Some nice ambient music, some nice scented candles.
You know, this is an odd transition, but you just mentioned Scott in the bathtub. When are we getting him waxed?
Yeah, that's true. I told Janine I was going. When is this going to happen?
Okay, where are we going with all this?
The Cat's Meow on Elston Avenue. We are going to have Scott Santas has lost.
Scott owes Patty a wax.
He has to be waxed.
I don't. Right. I've already been waxed.
Do they wax at the Korean spa?
I'm sure they
no.
do.
I feel that would be more fun.
At the King spa? No,
right,
they don't have any waxing.
They're pretty brutal with massaging you. I think a wax would be
air thing.
You want to hurt me? That's nice.
I mean, it's a waxing.
It goes
on
to the territory.
I bet Cabello is sorry he's missing this. Cabello, we could get him back on the phone on the waxing stuff.
Do we do a little wagering with him if his guy loses? We make sure he gets a full body wax as well?
Yeah. Full body? Oh yeah. Is that what we're talking about here? Because
what do we decide on for Scott? Was it a full body wax?
No.
I was under the impression he was waxing everything.
No,
every place that has hair.
I said my back because
you guys are going to lose this radio show if you keep it up.
No, I said my back because there are patches of hair in the shapes of third world countries. My wife can go, oh, look, Botswana, Estonia.
It's a geography lesson. I don't know where those places are.
Well, then aren't you also supposed to do something in front of the Showcase studio?
I am. I keep saying, yeah, we've not set that date up. I lose a lot of bets on this show.
It's getting warmer out now, too. We've missed all
tomorrow, the cold. Scott? Let's all set it up for tomorrow.
Is it too early for me to say how lovely this winter has been?
No. I think you're fine now.
Can I say that? Okay. I jinxed it.
No, I think we're fine.
Are you sure?
I feel like we're in the safe again. Time now.
It's my fault. Last year we had the big blizzard on the
It's supposed to snow Saturday.
Stop it.
What?
Not because I just said that. Just in general. I think that was saying. It was already out there.
Snowmageddon.
It's not snowing
It's not
going to
snow here, though, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, Sarah's telling you it's going to snow
in
somewhere.
In Saskatchewan.
Well, then really? I know there's a storm coming, but it's supposed to be north of us. North.
Regina's a
Saturday.
Lovely town.
Chicago.
How much? Are you kidding me? Come on.
I don't know. Let's Google
Not
it.
Not according to Tom Skilling.
What does Tom say?
He's a liar. Come on.
The first full day of astronomical spring. Uh-huh. Sunshine returns, though filtered at times by passing cloudiness.
I believe what Tom just said. Through Esmeralda.
Exactly. Through the voice of Esmeralda. Yes. Leon. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, celebrating primary night in Illinois. Joining me is Representative Sarah Feigenholtz of the 12th District. We have Representative Robert Martwick of the 19th District. Political cartoonist extraordinaire from the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, all joining us live in the studio. The rain seems to have passed. Esmeralda, I'm sorry. Do we have more any more updates on our weather, or are we doing okay? Do you happen to know?
Right now, it seems to have passed.
Excellent.
So were there any roads are pretty quiet.
Did any tornadoes touch down in downstate?
Not that I've seen.
Yay!
Yeah,
oh, good.
I haven't heard anything. So
all good. Representative Feigenholtz, you wanted to comment on some unique winners we had in the area tonight.
Yes, one of my friends posted on Facebook how proud she is that she's waited for almost 20 years, and there were times that she never thought she would experience this, but today, Teresa Ma, Josina Morita, Raja Krishnamoorthy, and Tammy Duckworth, all Asian Americans, were elected in Cook County and around the state of Illinois. So, that is also very noteworthy that this is a big tent day for a lot of Democrats. It was really some very spirited races.
There were a lot of spirited races. I think, you know, the presidential primary obviously gets a lot of attention, and Donald Trump has won Illinois. He gets all the delegates here, which is it 24 delegates for Donald Trump? And Hillary Clinton has, 24 delegates. He has won 38.9% of the votes with 546,000 votes. And Hillary Clinton has won Illinois as well. I haven't seen. It's fun. It is amazing how much. That's the number one headline, is Donald Trump wins Illinois. I guess. It's one of those things that grabs our attention, but we also need to remember how important the local races are. By the way, Craig, how did you vote for judges? Did you have a list of, like, the American Bar Association recommended judges?
How did I decide which ones to vote for?
Yes. I should have given you my thing that has.
No, it's totally fine. I looked at it a little bit online, and then I tried to remember the ones that I liked.
Well, there you go.
So I'm not even sure that I voted for the right people.
That's okay.
But I did push the ones that I was pretty sure were right, so, you know.
And our friend,
feel good about that.
A friend we made last week did not win his election. That was, or did not win his primary, which was Jacob Meister.
Jacob Meister.
He was running for clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County, and Dorothy Brown has won that as well.
Yeah, that's Jacob's just a great guy. Almost everybody who meets him really likes him. It was a challenging race. So much of the airspace was eaten up by these big races, and the presidential and Kim Fox,
it's a lot of noise almost for these. Really, I mean, can you talk a little bit about how important it is to pay attention to who we elect as our judges? Because you've worked in the legal system.
Yeah, I'm an attorney, and I worked as a state's attorney, and it's crucial. It is crucial that we inform ourselves. Judges can have the most profound effect on your life when you find yourself in court. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people very frustrated by appearing before judges that maybe shouldn't have been sitting there. So it is very important to research, find out who the bar associations, this stuff is available online, who they support.
Right.
And I'll give a little plug here to the Cook County Democratic Party. Since Joe Berrios and Tony Preckwinkle kind of took over, they made sure they put in a hard rule that no one would get slated as an endorsed Democratic candidate unless they were found qualified or recommended by the bar associations, so they can at least give their primary voters some sense that if you go and you vote for our candidates for judge, they are at least have been found qualified or recommended by the bar associations. And that's very important. And so that's a good step in party politics, that we're making sure that our voters who might not otherwise be informed know that at least you're getting a solid choice.
Yeah, I mean, there's every step of the way, regardless of what party you're in, you have to take a look at what the field is and what's important. I mean, every step of the way, every part of our elected system is important to know who is running.
Well, and you know, judges are one of those races that people don't pay attention to, so that you get the name game going on. And sometimes really qualified judges lose because their name isn't pretty. And, you know, it's tough.
Esmeralda?
Can I ask a question? Because I was looking at all of the Bar Association stuff. And the ones that said that they just didn't submit anything, is that just because they just didn't do it? Or what's always the reason? I would think, you know, you're running for something. Wouldn't you submit things so people can know who you are?
Mm-hmm. No. If you know that you're not going to meet the minimum qualifications. So the bar associations tell you generally that there are minimum qualifications you must have, so many years that you served, certain levels of experience before they will find you qualified. And if you know that they're going to find you not qualified, you'd rather just not show up. So that's what happens. And that should be a big red flag for people,
right?
There's no qualifications necessary to be elected judge, but that's why we have these ratings, so that hopefully the voters make good choices.
Right. How did you feel about judging, categories when you were voting today, Esmeralda?
What do you mean?
When you were voting, had you picked up a lot of the information?
I had my list.
There you
I
go.
I brought my list good and I printed you. It out because I usually go, like, I don't know what's going on.
I love an informed voter. Good for you, Esmeralda.
And when I did see that it said that they hadn't turned anything, I'm like, well, you're out. Yeah. How lazy are you that you don't want to turn anything in?
Good for you. Good for you.
And Representative Feigenholz, you were on the ballot today as a delegate for Hillary Clinton.
I was.
And so have you been a delegate? You've been a delegate in the past?
I was an Obama delegate in the last presidential.
And how was that when you went to the convention?
Rocked it. It was an amazing experience.
And because people don't really pay attention, I think, to the ballot part where it says the delegates. Do they basically just go down and, well, these are the people I'm voting for president, I may as well send their delegates as well?
Sometimes people do that. I mean, I know a lot of people don't know that they're, you know, supposed to align the presidential candidate. So I think I got I have a lot of friends who voted for Bernie Sanders and also voted for me for Clinton delegate. But
yeah, how do we find out the numbers that you got? That's weird that you haven't, there's not anybody that sends you your results.
So Sarah, how does that work? I'm looking at your results here. How does that work for the delegates? It's out of the Clinton delegates, or do you have to, is it all the delegates?
No, it's not here, Rob. Bernie Sanders, I believe, will have some delegates.
Okay.
It's not winner take all.
So it's vote total, right?
I think so. So do you?
So you are. I'm looking at it. You got 52,484 votes, which would put you you're third. So you're definitely going to the convention.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about citywide or in the
fifth congressional district?
Okay.
You received 52,484, which for the Clinton delegates, you were number one.
Congratulations, Sarah Feigenholz.
Yeah. Congratulations. Wow. There were two Bernie delegates that got three Bernie delegates that got more votes than you did, but. If it's the highest six, I think that's what it is, six, right? Yeah, yeah, vote for six.
Right.
Yeah. So you're gone.
So, Rob, how did the numbers play out for Hillary and Sanders in that congressional district?
Oh, I'd have to do a lot of math.
Here, do some math. Let me go to break. And when we come back, I'm going to let you guys know seven things you didn't know about St. Patrick's Day. Or maybe you did know. Okay. That's pretty presumptuous of me, isn't it? Hey, Craig, do we have a break before we go to Esmeralda to the news? Or are we good? Let me... You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. A little Bruce Springsteen, a little Jersey from producer Craig Collins. We have Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune.
You dropped the extraordinary.
I was going to say extraordinary. We consider him to be yeah, now you've cut me off. I can't say it anymore.
I'm sorry.
Is it because you voted in the mail? It's no longer extraordinary.
Yes. And it's extraordinary. She said you're extraordinary.
Oh, well, isn't that kind of
extraordinary? I like extraordinaire. No? It's almost.
It's the same thing?
Almost French.
It is almost French. I have Funyuns. I want everyone to know. Esmeralda, do you like Funyuns? Because I have them in the studio.
I'm not the biggest fan. I would rather a real onion that's been fried.
But we actually had a Funyun virgin in the studio.
Yes.
And
Representative Feigenholz. Do we out you? I didn't mean to put that out there that you were a Funyun virgin.
I actually kind of like the way that sounds.
I like the way it sounds when Representative Martwick eats them on the air. That sounds really good.
They're delicious.
Aren't they great?
I want to know why Esmeralda doesn't like Funyuns.
Yes.
It's just too fake of a taste, especially when I can get a real onion ring.
Can you?
I mean, right now she can. I don't have them in a bag for you.
I mean, I can go buy some.
We have a lot of things, but we don't have real onions.
Right. In this moment, though, your only choice is a Funyun, and you're
right,
going to pass.
Right, but I can wait.
We have a lot of pizza, too. We have Pat's Pizza
down
in the Allstate Showcase Studio. So I'm just saying, if you want to come down and grab some of that. Lou Malnati's pizza, also in the green room. Esmeralda?
There's so much pizza everywhere in this building right now.
I was telling Craig that I used to, when I was in college on election nights, and I can't remember if we did it for primaries too, but we would always have like margaritas. We'd make margaritas and have big like taco bars and we celebrated voting. I make my husband dress up as a precinct captain. He hates that.
For Halloween? For Halloween?
No, for fun.
You say, baby, will you please
punch
dress up as a... Come on, really? You do not.
Can I have your support?
With my hanging Chad.
What does that entail?
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. How many does Scott have? Keep going, Scott.
What is that outfit, though?
That outfit?
Leather trench coat and a pinky ring.
And galoshes.
You should all be ashamed of yourselves. Everyone in the studio is speaking from experience.
Didn't election judges used to wear like styrofoam hats with American, like the red, white, and blue ribbon around it?
Yeah.
Didn't they used to wear that when we were younger? I like to make them wear
you
that.
Make your husband dress up in one of those.
What else do you make Steve wear, Patty?
Yes.
I can't decide which is more uncomfortable, that my mom listens to this podcast or that Steve listens to the podcast.
312-981-7200. What should Steve wear? WGN Radio. Let's do a segment.
All right, then. We were mentioning a moment ago, Representative... Everyone just got really quiet.
Oh, come on, baby. It's mosquito abatement district night. Come on.
Like, how do I find that? Is that like a hazmat outfit? What does that look like? All right.
Okay. Sorry.
Representative Feigenholz was mentioning that now that the primaries are over, is it time to move forward? I mean, is everyone just going to gear up now for the fall elections?
I sure hope not, because I think one of the things, no matter what party you belong to, we're all hearing from all of our constituents about a state budget, and mm-hmm. we need to do that. And, you know, right now we're at the brink with higher education institutions that are asking their, you know, tenured professors to take 20 furlough days.
Yep.
The Chicago Public School System, as you know.
They're taking Good Friday off. They're furloughing them for a day.
And 2 days in June.
Okay.
And so we're hearing from our teachers about that, and we love our teachers.
Absolutely.
And we love our community schools, and it's time that we step up, and it's time to do a budget. And I'm hoping that all of the distractions of this primary that the governor and the leaders will sit down and actually do the right thing and put a budget out there for the people who deserve it.
Some of the rumors we're hearing, though, is that now Rauner and Speaker Madigan are going to go mano a mano, for lack of a better word, in the fall election, that we're not going to have a budget because those two aren't going to compromise, and that now they're going to drag us all into the deep waters of the general election.
Scott, I hope you're wrong, but I I really do. I hope you're wrong.
Me too.
It's we need to fix this. Sarah, you said it just perfectly. We need to fix this. We need to fix it now. I just spent the last week before the primary touring the neighborhood schools in my district, and it's just what we're leaving is unconscionable. And just to give you contrast, my district actually has 9% of it is in the suburbs, and not wealthy suburbs, Norridge and Harwood Heights. And I toured schools in both Chicago and Harwood Heights, and the contrast could not be more dramatic. You could cross the line from Chicago into Harwood Heights. You would not know you were there unless you looked up at the street signs. It's the exact same people, mm-hmm. the same houses, the same careers, the same incomes. And then you go into the school systems, and they are so dramatically different in terms of the number of resources. Chicago Public Schools, 34 kids per classroom. Harwood Heights, 20.
Wow. That's significant.
Okay. And we have to address this. These are financial problems that will not get solved until we start acting. We have to address them. Mm-hmm. And we have to be fiscally responsible. We have to sit down. We have to figure out a solution. But unfortunately, I get the sense that you may be right. I hope I'm wrong. But people ask me, and I just think the only solution to our problems, mathematically, it cannot be done without a tax increase. Even the governor as much as admits it. But in days past, you would get together the strong members of both party and you would pass that tax increase. But if they're just going to, as you said, go mano a mano on every race, who's going to vote for it? And then we don't solve our problems. Our universities fail. We have people dying every day. Mm-hmm. It's unconscionable, and we have to get down to it. We have to address it. So I hope after this primary that we come back next week and we
is it next week? I thought you're not back until April
4th.
And I also want to add that I think part of the byproduct what we've been seeing about the far right and the far left almost looking identical. And hard to discern and decipher whose anger is who will only continue if we throw more gasoline on the fire. Yeah, you know, we really have to get to yes, and we are capable of it. That is, the people in our districts deserve nothing less. They deserve for people to make tough decisions and stop fighting and stop bickering.
Yeah, and for what it's worth. I think that there is a will amongst the body to do that. And so, you know, I'm sorry, a little plug here. Last time we were in Springfield, I passed a bill for an elected representative school board that the night before there were prognosticators blogging on the internet saying, number one, that the bill would never get called. It was just a political stunt. Number two, if it got called, it would never pass. Mm-hmm. It passed 110-4.
Wow.
Because we worked together in a bipartisan fashion, Republicans and Democrats together. We crafted something that we could all live with. And so we have that ability to work together. And I think there is a will to work on the budget, but we have leadership that we have to find some rules that we can all live by in the political process so that people can get to yes.
And Scott, you've got to come down with me.
Oh, no, I'd love to. I would absolutely love to.
Yeah. There's a nice little hotel.
I can sleep in the van.
There you go. Oh, yeah, can we take the WGN fan van to Springfield? That would be awesome.
I don't know what the rules are on that.
Oh.
I can find the keys.
But then there are no rules.
Is that one of those ask for permission later kind of things?
Yeah, forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Better to ask for forgiveness. Right.
I mean, we're kind of asking for permission too later because we already took stuff.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. It's good talk.
No, but I think that it's important to, and for anybody, this is something we've said before, we've got to do a Springfield, like a, you know, a field trip and take our listeners down there so they can watch and see what goes on, meet their legislators, you know, be a part of the process.
And I think, and I'd be interested in your reaction to this, but as someone who's only been there for 3 years, I'm newer in the process. When I got down there, you know, you hear so much of it from afar, but when you get down there, what you find out is that it works much better than you expect it to.
Exactly.
I mean, it really is democracy in action, which is all the good and the bad that goes with democracy. Yes, we argue and we debate because we're supposed to. Mm-hmm. That's what we're elected to do.
With all due respect, a lot of that stuff.
A lot, with all due respect, yes. And even when there isn't sometimes. But it's very passionate. We don't always agree, but that's democracy. We're not always supposed to agree. Mm-hmm. And yet what a lot of people don't know about Springfield is that, and Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong here, I would guess 80% of the legislation goes out overwhelmingly bipartisan.
Actually, it's more like 96%.
Is it really? It's that high? Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's been extraordinarily contentious in the last couple of years, but work groups, there used to be all kinds of collaboration going on, and we'd be, you know, everybody would just love and hate the budget just enough to support it. And that's democracy. You know, nobody gets everything they want. They get to the middle, and that's what is expected of us.
And what would you say to people who are upset or disappointed or frustrated that Michael Madigan had you guys leave for 4 weeks? Because a lot of people thought, well, why aren't they staying? And, you know, Representative Cabello, who's not on the air right now, we had him earlier, said that he was disgusted with the Democrats in a piece he wrote on his website that people weren't staying for the House of Representatives.
You know, I mean, there's a million ways we could spin this. I haven't really thought it through. For me, it was just rhetoric. And, you know, we could be productive. If we've got the will to be productive, we could do it in one day. We could do a budget in a day. The budget's right. already yep. in the can. It's in the can. We know what we have to do. We know what we want to fund. Perhaps there's a little cutting here and pushing this line over there. But at the end of the day, we know we have to fund higher education. We know we have state institutions that we have to keep open. We know we have elders that need home care in their home. And right. we know we have kids who need child care. And it's not like people in Illinois are just going to pick up and go away.
Right.
We need a budget.
Yeah. And you know, listen, I would rather be there working, but there is, you know, again, that's political spin. This is an unusual break. I'm not sure why. I'm not consulted on these things. But what I would tell you is that I would be more concerned if that we're taking a break, if we were actually getting some stuff done. Mm-hmm. And if you want to spin that, oh, well, we took a month off, well, I'll spin. Well, how about the Republicans finally start taking a vote? There are three buttons on your desk that you get to push. There's a green one to vote yes on a bill. There's a no one, a red button that you push when you want to vote no on a bill. And there's a yellow button. And it's interesting that it's yellow. Okay. And it's present. And, you know, that has been there the whole, every time we put a tough a vote on the board, they have by and large voted present. And I don't blame my colleagues for it. There's bigger political games going on. But until they start taking positions and putting themselves out on a limb on some of these votes, we'll never get to anything.
Right.
You know? So it cuts both ways, you know, and it's fair. Spin it. You got the opportunity to do it, but it's also
there'll be something else.
Let's
to
know the whole story.
But know? Well, in April there'll be something else to spin.
Right. And there was nothing that was gonna get done before this primary. That was obvious, you know.
Well, you know, there are people who just want to lock the doors and make you guys get it done. Hey, Craig, do we have anybody to call for our pretty late wake-up call?
I was thinking about calling John Tatey.
I don't think that's okay. I really, really
he's
don't think
he's got a
kid,
a little baby. He's probably awake.
He's got a new nanny coming tomorrow, okay. So he's
you know,
probably going to rest
Stephanie
up a little bit.
Said we could call her.
I know. I feel like we should call Marcus LaShock again. Do you have anybody that is in your phone book that you'd like to wake up right now?
Yeah.
Or leave any three of you, Sarah?
Mm-hmm. We could wake up Scott. Representative Andrade.
Oh, could we?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's call James.
It's primary night. Let's wake up somebody.
All right,
like
if you give, do you think
we should wake up a politician for sure. Someone
Jamie,
won.
Let's call Jamie. I'm sure he's not sleeping. I have his cell number.
Doing it.
This, we're doing it. Yeah,
this is happening.
But you can't text him ahead of time.
No, you can't.
Call.
You got to call.
Nope. This
I'm
is a,
doing it.
Go. We have to give Craig the number more after this.
Call.
We're calling Representative Jaime Andrade, who's won his primary tonight in the 40th ward. 40th district?
40th, yes.
More after this on 720 WGN. Wake me up before you go. So before we go, we have someone to wake up. Representative Sarah Feigenholz and Representative Robert Martwick have decided to give us the number for Representative Jaime Andrade, who has won his primary tonight. Scott Santis enjoyed doing that. We left a message for Annabelle Laval last week, I believe.
We did.
So
did they get back
here
to
we go. We are calling. And poor Jaime is probably trying to get some sleep. Maybe he was. How do you think a Jaime Andrade celebrates on his primary night? Do you think he was with his family, I'm guessing? He seems like a family guy.
How would this come up on his caller ID?
A 312 number.
Just not WGN.
I don't know. Do you think it comes up as a WGN
number? I think it marks his Tribune, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they go Tribune Media. Maybe, yeah. Maybe he's getting
your
a call.
Call has been forwarded to an automated.
Oh, here. Is a number on here?
So we have to fill up the.
Yeah, we'll just have to. Yeah. So let me know when it beeps for the message. Yeah, we'll have to leave him a nice long message. So what we'll do is we'll just fill him in on the whole show. We'll let him
at
know.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, hi, Mandrade. It's Patty Vasquez from WGN Radio.
And Craig Collins.
And
Sarah Feigenholtz.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott Stannis.
And it's Rob.
And up in traffic.
Esmeralda Leon.
There we go.
Yeah, Jaime.
Hello, Jaime.
Hey. We call to say congratulations on your incredible victory.
Yep.
You're going to be the best mosquito abatement commissioner ever.
No, he's a state representative for the 40th.
I got that wrong.
Yes,
then.
He's in the Albany Park area. We believe, in fact, Esmeralda Leon.
That's where I'm from.
Is one of your constituents.
Where I live.
What do you expect and what do you hope from your state representative, Esmeralda?
That he do a good job.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Such high demand.
I know. Is there any? What's on your list of important issues, Esmeralda?
Be fair and fair. I knocked on doors with Jamie and. I walked a precinct with him, and I, after about 2 hours, I looked at him and said, "You could be king. You're so popular." I mean,
he's
everybody knows who he is. He's really hands-on. He knows how old people's dogs are. He's incredible.
You know, this is on his voicemail. He knows how he is.
Oh, yeah, we're going the whole time.
Yeah, no, we're going to go
we're filling him up.
It's okay. He doesn't care.
Call him again?
Why?
Why?
Because he's up now.
No, we don't want him to answer. We enjoy leaving
now.
Voicemail.
We're filling up his inbox.
Yeah, we're going to fill up his entire inbox. We'll call him
call
in a minute.
Us.
Yeah, if he wants to call us, go ahead and give him the number. It's 31. He can call us.
312-981-7200. He can call us while we're leaving him a voicemail. That'd be some weird vortex situation.
312, what is it?
981-7200.
Yeah.
You know, we should also update him on stuff that happened on this show.
Yes, we should let him know that John Tatey does not necessarily have an escape plan in the case of an.
Correct.
A tornado or
correct.
A fire.
The editor-in-chief of the AV Club does not have a lot of to-go bag experience.
He does not have a to-go. Do you have a go bag, Representative Marwick?
He does not know what it is?
A go bag? No go bags in my
studio.
What's
a go bag?
In case of emergency, like say you have to get out of your house quickly or perhaps one in your car, a supply of water, maybe blankets, extra clothes. If
have you been
medicine.
In my car lately? It's like, are you kidding
me? It's a
me?
Go car?
I've got an awful lot of campaign literature. I've got some lawn signs.
You're going to need that stuff.
Some from my candidates, some from the other ones. I'm just saying, you know.
Right. Scott, do you know the escape plan in your high-rise?
I don't. I do know the escape route. Yeah, okay. I do know where I actually had to have an escape plan for here because of Charlie Hebdo attacks. I'm a cartoonist.
And do you have a go bag in your office?
I don't have a go bag. I'm just going
to
go.
If we have some sort of an attack or something, we're just going to go. But
I would like to contribute something to your go bag.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Give us something.
Here, take a Rattler.
Oh,
that's
nice.
She's giving you a Rattler.
Thank you. Rattler. Awesome. Thank you.
So now I encourage you all to have a go bag.
It's now like, you could say not all Democrats are bad, right?
No, not at all.
Oh, we filled up his.
That's the warning. That's the warning.
That was the warning. We have a couple more. So then we talked to Representative John Cabello, who has given his support to Donald Trump in the presidential election.
You have reached the maximum time recording your message.
We love you, Jamie.
Congratulations, Jaime. Yeah.
Congratulations.
So he hasn't calling us back. Should we call him again? I think Craig's going to try him again right now. We only have 2 minutes left. Is there anything that you want to let our listeners know before our show ends tonight?
That I just think it's great when people are energized and participate in the electoral process. It is so important, and I am totally impressed at what happened today.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I think that we might have somebody on the line in just a moment. Oh, not yet. We're trying him back. I don't know that he's answering. But we'll try them in just a moment. Yeah, I think it's important that people get involved. Well, do we know what the turnout was? The turnout was, do we have any take on that? Because as I mentioned earlier, it seemed at 3 o'clock we only had about 10% of the registered voters, although they didn't have the numbers for who had voted early, and that seemed to also be strong numbers tonight as well. We're looking everything up. Jaime is still not answering his phone. All right.
It looks like 51%.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. It was
in the city of Chicago, 51%.
Yeah. Congratulations, Chicago. Well done, which means
that's
it's
a lot.
Only that bigger for the election in the fall.
Yeah,
let's hope so.
Yeah, 51.05%. That's pretty good. Yeah.
So how many votes did Hillary end up getting in the Democratic? Well, we'll find, I'm sure the numbers will all come out. That's a nice little computer tablet thing you've got there.
Oh, thanks. It's just an iPad.
I know, but
it's got a keyboard on the back.
It's attached.
How many total votes? Or
yes.
She got 1 million.
1 million in the state of Illinois or in the Chicagoland area?
No.
Illinois.
Illinois.
50.5%.
And how many did
968,000.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So in Illinois, well, I guess that makes sense in Illinois that she would